Not so long ago, I gave you a statistic one weekend about those who believe that when we receive communion, we are actually receiving the body and blood of Christ. The statistic came from some research that was done in America, and it may well apply to Australia. But it's a pretty awful statistic when over 60% of the people who call themselves practicing Catholics do not believe that they are actually receiving the real body and blood of Christ. Over 60% of people in the research said that they believe that it is symbolic only. Well, that's quite astounding for our church of over 2,000 years, and the core, the very central, the heart of our faith rises from and is immersed in the body and blood of Christ, what we call the Eucharist. Yet people still don't believe that they are receiving the body and blood of Christ. You might think that that's... I find it quite disturbing, actually, in this time. However, just be a little bit comforted that if you listen to that gospel, you'll find that it was the same issue in John's time when John wrote his gospel. The Jews, when he refers to the Jews, he mainly means the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders of the time, and the legal people. They were the ones that protested. By the time that John wrote his gospel in the last decade of the first century, their community was undergoing certain splits as well. There was some antagonism there, mainly from the older religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, the problem was that the language that the Jews used is in their religious, their cultic language, that language said that you never ever touch anything, let alone eat that which is sacred, which is the blood. So anything that had blood in it was not kosher. And then when Jesus says you have to eat my body and drink my blood, that's what they objected to. Whereas it seems that in our culture, people just see the symbolism and not the reality. So for some of us, some of the church anyway, we haven't come very far, it would seem to me, and that's quite disturbing. It also says that as I drill down into the conversations from the scriptures, that the words and the way that the words are used are very, very important. Drink my blood, eat my flesh. A handful of little words, but they are what caused a real fracture amongst the early church and the early community. Mainly from those that were leaving Judaism and trying to immerse themselves into Christianity. But it caused a real tension. So the words are very, very powerful. Now, words can be used in many, many ways, like the statistics, I admit that. But they can be used in many ways. For example, I think that it depends on the circumstances when somebody says something, and the authority that that person has who is speaking. So, for example, to come to the Eucharist, the circumstances were the Last Supper. Jesus with his disciples just before he was about to be arrested and die for them and for us. That's the context. The authority, the voice, the word, was actually Jesus himself, the Son of God, though they didn't realise that at the time. So the circumstances, the context are important, how we use the words and the power of the words, and the person who's speaking is important. Put those two things together when we come to understanding the words that Jesus gave. I could give you a simple example. If I was at a party, for example, and I went up to somebody and I just said, "You're under arrest," well, the person would go, "Well, really?" However, if a person came in a police uniform into that same party, came through the door and said to that individual, "You're under arrest," the reality is very, very different. I have just said something. This person with authority, they are doing something. They are arresting somebody. I am speaking, they are actually doing. I hope you understand the difference. I'm watching the cricket, for example, and I jump up in the stand and I say, he's out. And the people around me wouldn't give a hoot. But when the umpire comes up and says, he's out, he is out. Not because I said it, I might have observed it, but it's the person in authority, they carry the weight that turns those words into a reality. Now keep thinking, the words that Jesus used at the Last Supper, for some they were words, but they were the reality. Arrested, you're out. Words are so powerful. So you go to university or you're in your senior years at school and there's a teacher or a professor who says something so profound that what this teacher is putting forth, it just hits you and says, that's where I'm going to go in my life. And that individual, that young person, perhaps a young person, their life alters from that moment because of the inspiration of that teacher. And they end up becoming a great person in the world. That's the power of words. Same thing with parenting. When you have a child growing up and a parent berates a child because they may not have been able to do some task well. Some of you will know that that child is crippled from that moment emotionally. And very few actually recover because they go back to that moment when those words of denigration were put to them by their parent. You're useless. You'll never be anything. Changes that whole child's direction in life. Words are so powerful. And there are cases where people have said those things. The good and inspirational teacher has helped create a new reality, a new great person in the world. Or the negative words from a parent have created a crippled person in the world. They have brought that into being because of those words and the power of those words. Now, if you can bring that understanding into the Last Supper and what happens here, you are now immersing yourself into the reality. Most of the words that we use are descriptive words. They just simply describe something. But the words that Jesus used, they are not so much about descriptive, they are about creative. Why do I say that? Because, as the beginning of John's Gospel says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was Jesus, the Son of God. And then we go on a little bit further in that chapter and it says, and the Word lived amongst us. The Word, with a capital W, is the Son of God. When he speaks with that authority, like the umpire, like the parent, like the teacher, like the policeman, when he speaks with that authority, what he says is, he has created that. He's not describing it. If you think that you're coming here this morning and looking at the, or sharing in the symbolism of the Last Supper, then you may as well, bless you, be sitting in a Protestant church. The Catholic faith tells us that we listen and we observe and we change the direction in our life because of the words that Jesus said. This is my body. Take and eat. This is the chalice of my blood. Take it and drink. And what you receive, as St. Augustine says, you must become. So you become. We become the body of Christ. Some of you may remember me saying that some time ago. And that is Eucharist. That is the blessing that we receive. That is the key that unlocks our eternal life. For those of you who still don't get it, who think that it might just be symbols, or just words, just remember, Jesus is the Word of God. the Son of God. What he says is. So if he says, this is my flesh, from the one loaf, take it. And that's what you become. He also said that from many grains, we create the one loaf. And St. Augustine, once again, pulls this together quite nicely, I think. So you look at yourself as the grains of wheat. You look at a head of wheat and it's got all the grains in it, and then individually those grains are taken out, and you can identify with this part, I'm sure. They fall, and then they're crushed. Many of you know what that being crushed in life is like. So the individual grains are crushed together, and so you get the flour, if you like. The next thing that happens in the process is that we add water. You add water to the flour and you start to get a dough. The water, if we are the grains, the water comes from our baptism and we become the dough. Next thing that happens is the dough is flattened or put into a shape, and then it's put into the oven and it is heated. It is the flame and the heat that creates the loaf, the single loaf. The flame, the heat, is the Holy Spirit. It all comes together in the unity of this single loaf, this single piece of bread, which is then broken after Jesus says, this is my body. And we refer to ourselves as the body of Christ. We are not symbols of Christ. When we take our communion, we become the living body of Christ. It's a very, very different thing. It is not symbolic. It is a reality. It is creative. It is not descriptive. Descriptive belongs to symbols. Creativity belongs to life, and it is life-giving. In this communion, in receiving the body and blood of Christ, you become, with me, the life of Christ. We become the body of Christ. And we must take that which is real into the world which is living in a descriptive, unreal world way at times. We have to become the living symbol, not the living symbol, that's undoing what I'm saying. We become the living reality of Jesus' presence in the world. That's our entire mission in life. Crushed, broken, heated, but unified together. Become what you receive.